My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today's gospel passage contains the most important question in all of Scripture. Who is Jesus? People are saved or damned. Civilizations rise and fall. History ebbs and flows according to the answer given to that question. No, Jesus is deadly serious. The question, who am I, is the most serious questions persons can ask. It springs from an innermost core of their beings. The discovery of self is a crucial soul-searching quest, so painful that at times we must hide the terrible truth it enriddles to keep from scaring ourselves to death. Have you ever watched children playing a guessing game? They use words and signs and go through motions to give you hints so you can guess who they are pretending to be. They love the game because discovery is exciting. They take it seriously because they want to be discovered. Yet, not too seriously because they are only pretending. It is finally just a game. But there is a variation of that children's game that is more than a game. There are no rules, no make-believe. It is all very real. And you are sitting there, maybe reading a book or peeling potatoes, when your little daughter sneaks up behind you and puts her hands over your eyes and giggles. Guess who? Now, of course, you are not supposed to guess right away, or it would be no fun. You are supposed to say, Sally, or Clyde, or Father Tom. That is part of the excitement. But you had better finally guess the right name, and if you do not, the child gets frightened and cries, it's me, I'm myself. Everybody needs to be somebody. But you are nobody until somebody else calls you by your right name, until somebody knows who you really are deep down. You become yourself only when somebody else speaks a name and you recognize it as your own. Finding out who we are is the most important task in life, and that is why we go through life saying words and making signs and going through motions. We are trying to say who we are, hoping that someone will recognize who is beneath all the words and the deeds. And there is the final tragedy of life. We never get it all said. We will die without being able to express everything that we are. So in today's gospel, here is Jesus asking, who do the people, the strangers, say that I am? The disciples play the game and answer. Some say you are the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others say that you are one of the prophets. But this is more than a game, so Jesus puts the question directly to his friends. But who do you say that I am? And Peter answers directly, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This incident teaches us that the most crucial question in life is, who do you say Jesus is? And that means that our first task in life is not to be successful or wise or happy or even holy. The first task of the Christian is simply to discover Christ. Human beings are such that we come to recognize other people in the process of discovering ourselves. That is why we go through life asking the same question in one form or another. Who am I? We ask that question of every person we meet, of every situation we encounter, of every good or evil we perpetrate. If we keep on asking, if we do not give up or settle for an easy answer or play someone else's game, we finally run into Jesus, who is still wandering around, asking, "Who do you say that I am?" And then we will recognize each other for who we really are. In that recognition, we will discover the secret of ourselves and the mystery of God. We will come to the realization that Jesus is our brother and that God is our Father who calls us by our first names. Today we celebrate Father's Day. And we know God is our Father. We are referring to our own earthly Father. So let's start out on the lighter side of Dad and his day and think of the times when maybe he spoke to you. My father taught me to appreciate a job well done. He would say, "If you're going to kill each other, do it outside." My father taught me religion. He would say, "You better pray that the dent that you made in the car will come out." My father taught me time travel. He would say, "If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week." My father taught me logic. He would say, "Because I said so, that's why." My father taught me more logic. He would say, "If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, you're not going the Canadian Tire with me." And my father taught me irony. He would say, "Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about." My father taught me wisdom. He would say, "When you get to be my age, you'll understand." And my father taught me about justice. He would say, "One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you." And my father taught me envy. He would say, "There are millions of children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do." And here's to mean fathers everywhere. Someday when my children are old enough to understand logic that motivates a parent, I will tell them, "I loved you enough to ask you where you were going, with whom, and what time you would be home. I loved you enough to insist that you save your money and buy a bike for yourself, even though you could afford to buy one for yourself. We could buy one for you. I loved you enough to be silent and let you discover that your new best friend was a jerk. I loved you enough to make you go and pay for the bubble gum that you had taken from, and tell the clerk, 'I stole this yesterday and I want to pay for it now.' I loved you enough to stand over you for 2 hours as you did your chores, the job that could have taken 15 minutes. I loved you enough to let you see anger and disappointment and tears in my eyes." Children must learn that their parents aren't perfect. I loved you enough to let you assume the responsibility for your actions, even when penalties were so harsh they almost broke my heart. But most of all, I loved you enough to say no when I knew you would hate me for it. Well, those were the most difficult battles of all. I'm glad I won them, because in the end, you won too. And someday when your children are old enough to understand the logic that motivates parents, you will tell them, "Was your father mean?" I know mine was. And we had the meanest father in the world. While other kids could have candy for breakfast, we had to eat cereal and eggs and toast. Father insisted on knowing where we were at all times. You'd think we were convicts in a prison. He had to know who our friends were and what we were doing with them. He insisted that if we said we would be gone for an hour, we'd be gone for an hour or less. We were ashamed to admit it, but he had the nerve to break the child labor laws by making us work. We had to wash the dishes and make our own bed, and learn to cook and vacuum the floor and do laundry and empty out the trash and pull weeds out of the garden and wash the car, shovel the snow. I think Dad would lie awake at night thinking of more things for us to do. He always insisted on us telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But by the time we were teenagers, he could read our minds. Then life was really tough. My father wouldn't let our friends just honk the horn when they drove up. We had to come up to the door, and he had to meet them. While everyone else could date when they were 12 or 13, we had to wait till we were 16. And now that we have left home, we are all educated, honest adults, and we are doing our best to be mean parents just like Dad was. I think that's what's wrong with today's world. We don't have enough mean fathers. This is something I really like. I've said it here several times about Dad. It's Mark Twain. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished by how much my father had learned in 7 years. A while back, I was talking to a group of high school students, and I said motherhood is sacred. And someone reminded me, so is fatherhood sacred. Saint Joseph is the model we follow and the patron saint of fathers. So I'm going to ask all the men in the parish today just to stand up, and we're going to bless them. Could you stand up, all you beautiful men? No matter what age, I don't care if you're only 12, stand up anyway. Eternal God, creator of all life, in your wisdom and love you have made all things. Bless our fathers and all who minister us in a fatherly way, and strengthen them with your love, with your grace, and through the example of Christ. And let their faith and love shine forth. And may we, their sons and daughters, minister to them and care for them too. And may we honor them with appreciation and a profound respect. And grant this through Christ your Son. Amen. And while you're standing, fathers, if you've got any sons with you or daughters, any children with you, I don't care what age, I want you to give them your blessing. Have you got any children with you? Some of the front don't. I think some of the back do. Just reach over, touch them on the shoulder, and give them their blessing. And if you haven't got time now, do it later at supper when the family is gathered. Give your daughters and your sons your fatherly blessing. God bless you.